Hello and welcome to the ADA Shop Talk podcast. I'm your host, Paul Klein. And if you are an ADA coordinator, government official, architect, or accessibility consultant trying to better understand the ADA, then you are in the right place, my friend. The ADA Shop Talk podcast is brought to you by Blue Dag. Check out Blue Dag's Transition Plan Builder Inspection Suite over at bluedag.com. We got some great things going on over there for all you public entities and private entities. So check out bluedag.com for all the information. So today, yes, we're going to be talking about five niche certifications that make you stand out. There's so many times I'm talking to code officials, ADA coordinators, and everybody, and they're like, where do I find certifications? You know, how should I become an inspector or an ADA coordinator or an accessibility specialist? You know, there's so many realms in this world of accessibility. It's just a wonderful thing. I'm super excited to be part of it. I have had the opportunity to be in a couple different areas of the whole realm. You know, there's the whole built environment realm. Then there's the whole advocacy and working directly with people in their disabilities personally. Then there's the built environment side and the regulatory side. And so it's just a great profession, and it has just a great rewarding thing about it. But I thought today we'd talk about these certifications because I know many of you are looking for professional opportunities and ways to improve yourselves and so forth. And I think some of these might be new to you or you haven't heard of before. And I thought this would be a great topic. That's something I get hit up all the time on. You know, I do a lot of training and so forth, webinars and so forth, especially out in California, part of the CASP exam. We have our academy that we do, but just training in general is so important. And so there's these great organizations and certifications that are out there that you may not know about. So I'm going to give them to you in reverse order. So hold the suspense until I get to my number one, because number one's probably my favorite, at least it is right now. And so you'll want to stay tuned to see what that one is. But let's start with number six. And this one's kind of unusual. I didn't even know about it until I started really researching for this show. And I'd heard of this before, but it's the International Association of Accessibility Professionals, IAAP. The other acronym is CPABE. I think that's Built Environment Certified Professional Accessibility, Built Environment. Anyway, it's new to me too. So, and it's more national or international, I should say. So I'll put the website in the show notes so you can go check it out. But if you're looking for an international footprint, they don't really test on like the ADA, obviously, because that's specific to California. So it's more on universal design, and it does tackle the built environment. And they have other certifications too in web accessibility, but it is an international organization. It looks like it's been around for about 10 years. And anyway, I thought it was interesting. So I thought I'd turn that on to you. They have some different ways to qualify for the exam and so forth. So if you're looking for an international certification that enlarge your footprint, it talks, the cost is somewhere right around $225 to $400, $500 or less, it looks like, depending on where you're at. And they do test online and then you got through the renewal certification. So very similar amongst all these certification programs. They all have kind of the same thing. You got to pay a fee to get certified. You got to maintain it. You got to qualify. Same format as any certification that you might take, depending on what the body is requiring. But check out the International Association of Accessibility Professionals, specifically the CPABE. That's my number six certification you may have never heard of before. Number five is one that's been around for a while that you probably heard of, but it's the ICC Accessibility Inspector / Plans Examiner. That one has been around for a while. It's one of the first ones I got. There's one within that that's specific to California. So they have like the California Public Accommodations Accessibility Inspector / Plans Examiner. And then they have just the generic, more nationwide footprint of the ICC Accessibility Inspector Plans Examiner. So if you're looking to become, I usually tell people who are just getting into like inspections and and learning how to apply, you know, how to inspect and review plans for ramps and accessible bathrooms and things like that in the built environment, this is a great way place to start. There's no real qualification, meaning you don't have to have a certain number of experience. It's through ICC, so it's similar to the, you know, to the building code. You know, they're the ones that print the International Building Code, and they also have the ICC in printing that they do, or they coordinate with, I believe. And that's the governing main document that they test on for this accessibility inspector / plans examiner is the current edition of the IBC. I think you can go back one code cycle, maybe to the 2000, I don't know if it's the 20 or what, you know, it's like the last two versions of the IBC that they test on. And then the, I think it's the last two ANSI's, which I believe is the 09 and the 17. I don't know if the 2022 or 3 is out yet, but forgive me for not having that right in my hands, but let me look here. It might have, actually I do have it right here. So yeah, it's the 2009 ICC and the 2018 International Building Code, it looks like they test on. And then for the California one, obviously they test all on the California Building Code volumes 1 and 2. So the national one is based on the ICC. So you're not really getting into all of the nuances of UFAS and, you know, HUD and 504 and all that. It's strictly the IBC specifics for the scoping, which is where the scoping section is. And then the ANSI A117 is all the technical section. So similar to the ADAS, you know, you have chapter 2, which is the scoping. For this test, that would be in the IBC, and then all the technical in the ADAS, which would be 3 through 10, would be all in ANSI, and it's laid out very similar, a lot of similar requirements. There are some differences, but it's also all open book, I believe, so you can pretty much go, if you have a little bit of a background in the built environment and so forth, you can probably get in there and knock that one out. Great warm-up test, if you will, since I've taken that one. It's been many years. A great place to start. So number 5 is the ICC Accessibility Inspector Plans Examiner Certification. Now, my next one, some people may argue with me about it, but I haven't actually taken it. It's on my agenda to do. And the reason why is it's specific to Texas, and it's the Texas Registered Accessibility Specialist. So it is specific to the state of Texas only. So unless you're doing work in Texas, but if you're like me, you want the challenge of getting it. And so I have been asked to do some what's called RAS inspections or TASMs. I can't remember. For you Texas folks, you can correct me on this. But essentially in Texas, the state requires that a registered accessibility specialist do the final inspection before building final or CFO, certificate of occupancy. So if you're building a new building in Texas, say you're building a new, you know, hotel, that hotel is finaled and inspected by the building department for all fire life safety and all those kinds of things. But then it has a component where they require an independent third party registered accessibility specialist to do the actual inspection. And unfortunately, I've had the opportunity to go behind a few of these RASs, and I can't speak for them, but I know I've been out after city and RASs have signed off on buildings, on brand new buildings, and I find cross slopes greater than 2%. I find parking stalls not wide enough, signage missing. So I don't know how the program is enforced overall, but my experience, you know, which I'd say is probably, I've been on 25 buildings or less over the course of my 30-year career, and I'm surprised. But hey, as a former code official in California, I could say the same thing going behind other casts and code officials too. So I don't think it's unusual. It just kind of happens, and it's nature of the beast. But anyway, that number 4 is the registered accessibility specialist down in Texas. And it's a great place to start and get your ADA consulting hat if you're in Texas. It's administered by the TL. RD Texas, I can't remember what the L stands for. Hey, maybe I have it. Yeah, I think I do have it right here. Texas Department of License and Regulation. Oh, and it is, Raul, I forgot to mention to you, I think it's about the same price. The last test had about 37 people pass, 34 people fail, total of 76 took it. It's about a 52.1% pass rate. Previous in 22 was 55% and 54 in 2020. So it's not crazy, you know, 10% or 16% like we've seen in other ones, but it's, you take a 2-day, I forgot to mention this. You take a, you go to the Texas Accessibility Academy. It's like a 2-day class you can take that's administered through, they have some through the state, and then they have some that are administered through like a private company. It's pretty cool. I'll put the link in the, show notes. You can go check that out if you're interested in getting that. And that's the Texas Registered Accessibility Specialist in Texas. So that's number 4. Number 3, and this one could be number 1 for a lot of you out there, and you'll understand as soon as I tell you. And I don't know why I didn't pick it at number 1. I guess it just depends on my mood at the moment. But that is the ADA Coordinator Training Certification Program. And that is put out by the ADA coordinators of, I think, Missouri it is. Let's see. Yeah, the Great Plains ADA Center is who kind of administers and oversees that and so forth. And there is some prerequisites on, you've got to take their ADA basics course. You got to have 40 credits in, you know, their training for the role of ADA coordinator, self-evaluation plans. And for those of you that don't know what an ADA coordinator is, it's involved in the Title II space for agencies and entities that are embarking on their compliance initiatives for their Title II compliance, i.e. they're getting federal funding, they're ensuring their programs, services, and activities, PSA, are all up to par and in compliance with federal standards and regulations to ensure their funding isn't cut. And so the ADA coordinator for that entity or that agency is a really important role. And this organization professionalizes that that profession through its certification program. So it's pretty wide. I know they're tied into the ADA National Network, and I think you can take some of the classes or maybe even get certified at the National ADA Symposium that's coming up. Oh, when is that? That's in 2024. I should know this. It's either June or August, somewhere in there. I need to Google that so I have that off top of my head. But I know that's coming up, later this year, if you're listening to this early in 2024. So that's the ADA Coordinator Certification Program, ACTCP, and that's a great one for you Title II ADA specialists and so forth, working with your government entities and organizations. So that's my number 3, the ADA Coordinator Training Certification. Could be your number 1, so yeah, subject to interpretation here. So number 2, it's getting meaty. This is gonna get controversial here. So number 2, surprisingly for me, is I'm putting the DSA CASP exam there. And I probably could have put the ADA coordinator up a notch at number 2 and put DSA. I probably should have flipped those, because I think that's that's another one like the Texas one. It's specific to California, very specific to California. However, what stands out to me in the CASP exam in California over the Texas Accessibility Specialist is other states are recognizing the Certified Access Specialist in California. It's kind of like if you're a registered architect or licensed engineer in California, you kind of get, you know, grandfathered in. If you go to another state, they recognize that it's a higher standard. It's more difficult. The CASP exam also covers much more program access and things like that. Texas Accessibility Specialist certification pretty much is just the 2010 ADAS and that's it. Whereas the CASP exam, you're getting tested on UFAS, HUD, Fair Housing Act, Chapter 11A of the CBC, all the state. There's numerous state amendments and changes that are more restrictive than the feds. You're getting tested on the 91 ADAS, the 2010 ADAS. So it's a much broader and probably the most difficult. That's probably why a lot of people are like, why isn't that number 1? And these aren't in order by difficulty by any means, just more my I don't know. I had to pick an order. so bear with me. I don't know. Anybody could make a different order. But anyway, the DSA CASP exam is high on my list just because it is a very hard test. So even if you're not in California working directly, the CASP exam really is probably the gold standard. And my number one folks are going to argue with me with that for a lot of reasons. And I do think it's the number one is probably better in a lot of ways than the CASP exam. But just so you know, DSA CASP exam is offered three times a year. They just had an exam here in February, and there's another one coming up in June, and then another one coming up in the fall in October. They test three times a year. It's a very expensive test. I think by the time it's all said and done, you're into it. If you don't even take any training classes like our academy that we offer, you're in it for over $2,000, $2,100. I mean, it's $300 just to get your binder paper with your name printed on a certificate. So it's like $500 to qualify, $800 to sit for the test. Then you got to pay another $300 to get your certificate, another $200 to have it listed on the website. It's somewhere around $2,100 total. And then every 3 years, you've got to pay another like $500 to get your CEUs verified and so forth like that. So that is the DSA, Division of State Architect, California specific certified accessibility specialist certification. That's my number two. And drum roll, please. That would be the APA ACBE. There's the applause in the background. This is put out by the Accessibility Professionals Association. They're out of Texas. It's the APA, not the American Plywood Association, the Accessibility Professionals Association. So Jim Terry, and a lot of people, Christy Avalos that I know, and John Torkelson, it's a great organization. I was there last year at their annual conference. They have great training program. It's just a good organization to be part of, but more than anything, their new certification program is just really, really good. And I really enjoyed it. I went through the first guinea pig, I guess it was, they only offered it in person last year and I passed. And so I'm listed on the webpage here and again, I'll put links in the show notes. So you can click on all these and go find out more information about that. But, you can see my name listed in with a lot of other great accessibility specialists throughout the nation that took it. But the great thing about this certification and what their whole intent is to be a true built environment nationwide certification. And the only other one that's really close to that is the ADA coordinator, but that's more for someone working specifically in the Title II space for programs, services, and activities and transition planning that doesn't cover the Title II public accommodations piece. Conversely, the ICC does to some extent, but it doesn't even include any of the other elements of, it doesn't even include the 2010 ADAS, it doesn't include the Fair Housing Act, and so it doesn't get any of the program access stuff in the ICC. DSA CASP exam's close, but it's specific to California. So that is why my number one is the APA certification, BE, standing for built environment. And it's, I think it's the best one out there right now especially for you just getting started, or if you're a seasoned consultant, it's a great one to go have. It's no, pushover test by any means. And not that any of these really are, but, you've got to study for it. And so the study resources they list, we'll give you an idea, but they list probably 15 different, regulations and standards and codes. Obviously the 2010 ADAS, the Access Boards Guide, Architectural Barriers Act, the ABA, Title I and Title II of the ADA, the DOJ documents and checklists for readily achievable barrier removal, polling places, playground owners, PROAG, ICC, and A117. So they're testing on the, they draw questions from the 09, the 17, the 18, the 09 and 17 ANSI, and then the 18 and the 21 IBC chapters 10 and 11, the Fair Housing Act Design Manual, the Fair Housing Act Amendments Act, you know, HUD, HUD's 504 summary, UFAS. So it's very broad. And what I like about it and why it's a great place to start, and my number one, is because it's just a good foundation of all of those requirements that you have to know as a specialist in the built environment. And then you can go pick your state stuff. You know, if you're in Florida, you can use that as a foundation, then go learn your Florida stuff, or start there and then go learn your California stuff, or start there and then go to your Texas, or start there and then go get your ADA coordinator, because now you got all the technical built environment stuff down. And then having that complement your ADA coordinator certification, I mean, you're going to be a superstar. So anyway, that's my number one. And I know some people will argue that and maybe disagree and everything. And same thing with cost wise, it's, you know, somewhere between that five. It's not crazy expensive. Let me just see here real quick. Yeah, it's $500 for if you're a member, $750 for non-member, and then a reapplication fee, a couple hundred bucks. And your certification every 3 years or so. I can't remember. Yeah, every 3 years. So you're, you know, similar to the DSA. It's kind of laid out very similar and so forth. And if you're a member of the APA, it's obviously a lot cheaper. So check that out. The APA Accessibility Professionals Association, and check out the APAACBE certification, which is my number one certification that you can make, that can make you stand out as an ADA champion. So hope you find that. Let me recap that for you real quick, and I'll put all these links in the show notes. So number six is the International Association of Professionals, the IAAP. And then number five is the ICC Accessibility Inspector Plans Examiner certification. Number four is the RAS, the Registered Accessibility Specialist, administered by the TLRD based on the Texas Accessibility Standards, which is essentially the 2010 ADAS with some administrative amendments and guidance that you need to know about. Number three is the ADA Coordinator Training Certification Program, the ACTCP. And then number two is the Division of State Architect, California Division of State Architect, CASP, Certified Access Specialist. And then the number one was the Accessibility Professionals APACBE certification. And all of these you can take, most of them you can take online, get training online. And also I know the APACBE certification will also be offered at the National ADA Symposium in Minnesota. And I wish I had that date. Let me just look it up. The National ADA Symposium is June 9th through 12th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you can, I know you can take some training there for all of these, as well as get the certification for the APA CBE and also the ADA coordinators training. So that's it. And just a couple other things real quick while I got you here before we close out is we will have more shows coming up. I got some great topics and I got some great interviews for you that I think you're going to enjoy, some key people in the industry. And if you have any suggestions for topics or people who we should interview, please forward them to me. And join the free ADA Shop Talk community. We've been doing a lot of stuff in there. We've got free webinars. We've got all kinds of technical support in there. People are posting pictures, and we've got polls and questions, ADA question of the week. So we're getting lots of activity. It's free to join. Go over to adashoptalk.com. You can join for free. Of course, if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at pkline@bluedag.com. And join me for this month's webinar. It's free also, and you can get some CEUs inside the community. It's Ensuring Accessibility in Transient Lodging, a Guide to the 2010 ADA Standards. So we'll be doing an overview into transient lodging and all the requirements for that coming up on February 22nd from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific. Both myself and Victor Felix will be presenting that. And yeah, I'd love to have you join me there. And if you haven't already subscribed to the ADA Shop Talk podcast, please subscribe on your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio. We should be out there on all of them. If we aren't, we should be shortly. And get out there and rock your ADA efforts. And remember, let's all work together to create a world where everyone has the opportunity to thrive. Take care until next week. My name is Paul Klein. I'm so glad you joined me today. Have a great rest of your week. Bye-bye.